Big Ben's on vacation. Have no idea where he is. Big Ben, bark two times if you're in Milwaukee. Oh, great Anchorman reference to start the show. I want to get into the NBA lottery, hence the Warriors hat, hence I'm up here in San Francisco at the Chase Center. What'd you think of the ping pong balls tonight? Actually, there are no ping pong balls anymore, are there?
It was a little awkward, I think, in terms of, you know, not being in that studio in Secaucus. I think the remote, you know, nature to it was a little different, but the outcome of it, every year you could bet on the poor Knicks just getting pushed to the back of the line, which I think was not only ironic, but pretty entertaining as well.
Treated Charles Oakley bad a couple years ago. It's karma coming back at him.
It's it, man. It's sad. It's that franchise, unfortunately, is just they've been battling uphill for a few years now. We'll see where it goes.
But going back to the ping pong balls, when we were growing up, I feel like it was live and you had your number of ping pong balls based on your probability and then it would come down to the bottom. Now we don't even know what's in these envelopes. How do they get in these envelopes?
The ping pong ball aspect was legit, although I think the overall, how legit the overall process was questionable. There's no NBA security around. No. There's questionable envelopes getting passed under the table. So they're trying to legitimize at least the process a little bit, which I respect. But yeah, I mean, having to do things remote, spread out across the country, obviously put a little different vibe out there.
Different vibe. But the Warriors come into the night, 14% chance that they'll get the number one pick. They ended up with the number two pick. And now, by my calculations, there's 100% chance they're going to trade that pick. What do you think?
You know what? It was made abundantly clear. In fact, ESPN made no apologies rolling Woj out like 37 seconds into the broadcast and just literally dropping it on everybody's kitchen table saying, Bob Myers, Steve Kerr, Joe Lacob, this trade's getting packaged and it's getting moved out. So obviously there's an opportunity. Warriors are win now mentality, you know, that this quote unquote rebuild or reload year is playing in perfectly to, you know, the next 3, 4, 5 years, depending on, you know, the franchise anchors of Steph, Clay, Draymond. And why not? Why not? Right? It's an asset. And I think if we learn anything, K-Win, from last year, it's how they're running this organization and how that front office is running this organization is just stockpile assets, put assets together, bring them together, and then move those, some of those chess pieces around to help build a sustainable winner.
So Minnesota's got number one, Warriors got number two. So they're probably targeting five players, but realistically they've probably, or will narrow it down to three. You're Bob Myers. Well, let's walk through the scenarios. Who do you think's going one? And then based on their transaction, who do you think the Warriors will pick?
I think it is boiled down to kind of an interchangeable group of three guys at the top. If I'm Minnesota, right, I think about some of the chess pieces I moved, and that was quite a haul I had to give up to get D'Lo last spring. So he's obviously not going anywhere. So I have to think, do I need more size down low with Karl-Anthony Towns, or do I want to kind of mix it up a little bit out on the wing, right out on the perimeter, and give him a little bit more of a playmaker to help him create a little bit more? So now the consensus number one right now is probably Anthony Edwards. And I don't know if he necessarily fits that mold. You know, I could see them going either Edwards or potentially there's, you know, it looks like they'll get some heat seeing what LaMelo Ball can do in the early circuit and see if he could prove to be a ball handler and a facilitator rather than, you know, having to take most of the shots.
Yeah, I agree with you. They draft your boy Wiggins. He's a solid NBA player, but a lot of people thought the expectations were higher. And then they got that guy from Texas Tech, Culver or Cutler.
Yeah.
I do think they're going to get Edwards, but they're not very good on drafting and scouting and picking the right personnel to surround their talent. You and I both called it. I think they're going to pass on Wiseman. I think he's going to drop to the Warriors, and I think the Warriors will draft Wiseman.
I like the pick, right? I think it makes sense. Now, again, this is all contingent on, you know, if that move is made and packaged up to get more of a veteran that coincides a little bit more with Steph and Clay and Draymond and the timeline those guys are on. But if Wiseman's there, you know, the comparisons that we're hearing, Chris Bosh, right? Yeah. You know, he's got a nice lefty touch in the paint. Now, the way the Warriors kind of play from a spread it out perspective, if he could establish and hit a three as well out on the perimeter, you know, that's nice because if we learned anything from the last year, that was a wash. You know, they have a formidable big man down there who can get rebounds, who could play a little bit of D, who could protect the rim, and Chris. So putting potentially those two guys on the floor at the same time, if Wiseman could bring his, you know, bring his game out behind the arc, would be huge.
At WST, we make bold predictions and we don't run from them. Here's my first bold prediction. 3 weeks from now, when a certain team gets eliminated, there's going to be a package. There's going to be a phone call out east. The market was set last year. So to get Anthony Davis, the Lakers had to trade Lonzo, Ingram, Hart, and 3 first-round draft picks. So 3 weeks from now, when the Bucks get eliminated from the playoffs, Bob Myers is picking up the phone, and this is what he's offering. Wiggins, Pascal, the number two, and the 2021 first-round pick, because the Warriors have two. They have theirs, and they have Milwaukee's. That's the offer. We're getting Giannis, sign-and-trade deal, WST bold prediction. You heard it here first.
Wow. Show's over. I mean, that's amazing. So, yes, I think that's the other domino here that needs to fall. The bold prediction's amazing. I'm completely on board. This organization has proved time and time again that they go out, they make that transformational move when have to, and it's not necessarily just a business decision, it's a basketball decision as well, right? That ownership group has shown they could dip into the luxury tax when they need to. So I like it. I think, you know, the fans of the Bay Area like it. I think the other piece to this, though, is let's sit and watch, though. We have a little bit now. You mentioned that 3 week window, right?
Yeah.
There's a little bit of drama that needs to play out across these next few weeks, and let's see, you know, the dynamics of this bubble playoff and what this means to Milwaukee. And if they're able to, you know, go on a run like everybody thinks they can, or if ultimately they hit a wall like they have in years past, and ultimately Giannis is like, all right, I'm out. Let's do something here. Right. So
yeah,
we'll see, man. The pieces, though, the assets, right, like we talked about, are there. And the front office has done a really nice job. You know, you mentioned Pascal, his emergence last year coming out of Villanova has just been incredible. Right. And having a chance for him to, you know, not only prove that he could score when needed, but just play good, solid, fundamental basketball, right? And if anybody's out there who he can model his game after, it's you know, it's Draymond. And you know, being able to practice against, you know, someone like Draymond every day has been huge. So I like Pascal. If he's involved in that package, you know, we'll take it. But he's been a nice piece for sure this year.
He's been a great piece. But here's why I'm trading that pick. I mean, everyone says there's no clear-cut number one. This year's draft is off. If any of these players came out any other year, there'd be like mid-teens draft picks. And this is where you have to balance the youth with the future. So, like, you want someone who's going to be the marquee player when Steph, Clay, and Dre ride off into the sunset.
Right.
And Wiseman, while he's good, I'm going to say another bold prediction, he's more like JaVale McGee than Chris Bosh. I think he's an athletic big. He can get you touches. He can get you looks. I don't think he can dominate. So I don't want to hold on to him and just have an average player 4 or 5 years from now. I'd rather win now and then figure out a way to get another player down the road. But just when will you have? When will you have this window?
That's it. That's really what it is, right? And again, and coupled with this front office, this ownership group, win now. So I agree, right? And I think you nailed it. I think Wiseman's downside is really that is he even a rotational player giving you 10, 15 minutes off the bench? They've proven they could find that. They could go out and find that at the minimum, and why waste the second overall pick? So, you know, again, I think these next few weeks, there's a lot of drama to play out relative to, do you go star chasing again? If not, do you hold on to that pick? What does that pick look like based on where they're at? Because one piece we didn't talk about, and I like it, you know, Wiggins has to be included in that deal, absolutely, just from a financial perspective.
Yeah.
But he took a nice little step, right? I mean, he saw, what, probably 10, 15 games out here before things shut down. But I think he feels pretty comfortable in this system, right? Mm-hmm. And I think her and the coaching staff is setting him up and is putting him in a position where he doesn't have to be the guy, right?
Yeah.
Like in Minnesota every night. And so when you take that pressure off him, and especially a player like Wiggins' caliber who doesn't necessarily play really emotional, just kind of goes out and relies on his talent, it works. And so again, those are two big pieces, right? Pascal proved he's a nice piece.
Yeah.
And Wiggins could fit in right around the corner as your second, third scorer on any night. So it's giving up a lot, but again, arguably you're getting back the best player on the planet. So I'm okay with it. Planet.
And we're not only a Warriors pod here. To wrap up the NBA lottery, we have Phoenix at 10. We have Sac at 12. Suns undefeated in bubble ball.
What a cool story, right? And it's one of those things where you take a look at the team on paper and everybody was kind of learning in real time what the rules were to get invited into the bubble. And you know, with Phoenix kind of getting in there with this new 9-seed play-in game motion and giving them a shot, I think it was a little head scratching at first, but they have some pieces, man. They have some pieces. And most importantly, I think finally after the last few years, they have the right coach that kind of ties it all together, right? You know, Monty Williams has had he's had a solid NBA playing career. He's been around the game for a while. You know, he's had a coaching opportunity as well. So what he's doing with that young nucleus is awesome. And it's just fun to watch. They have a nice, really young team, of course, with Booker just doing what he does. But it's going to be a fun team for sure. It's going to be interesting to see what they do down there at the lower part of the lottery.
Yeah, I was looking like, who do they draft? And I forgot your boy didn't even play in the bubble. Oubre didn't even play.
No, he was out. He was out. He was banged up.
So yeah. You got him. You got Booker. You got Oubre. You got Ayton. Rubio is a free agent. I think he's gone. But then they had Payne and that guy from West Virginia who's good.
Right.
So I don't know who they draft, but I got a couple choices. We're West Coast pod, and this guy's projected a little late, but I think you could get him right around that time. He's from Arizona, University of Arizona, Nico Mannion. Pass first point guard. He can shoot it, come off the bench. He doesn't have to start right away. That's who I like. That's who I want.
I like it.
Other than that, maybe you go for like a Euro who's a big guy who can shoot, like a stretch three or stretch four. That's what I'm going after if I'm Phoenix. Right.
No, I like it. And they've shown, right? They've shown to stay home, right, with the Ayton pick a couple years ago when he wasn't quite consensus overall, number one overall. So, you know, bringing the hometown kid in and the Wildcat over down up in Phoenix would be that'd be pretty sweet.
So we go to Sac at 12. Sac Ramenno King. So they came into the bubble. They had a shot, but they didn't play like they were supposed to. Vlade, he gone. And now Luke is still there, but a new GM is going to come. You got to think Luke is on a short leash.
You've got
Bogey, who replaced Buddy Buckets in the backcourt to start. Bogey's a free agent. Buddy's not happy. So my prediction is they're going to draft a two guard because one of those guys is gone. Either Bogey's staying and they're trading Hield, or Bogey leaves and Hield's going to be all right because he's going to be starting again. So I'm either going back out to Arizona, Josh Green, 6'5", athletic shooting guard, or I'm going to Kentucky, Tyrese Maxey. Either way, I think they got to get a two guard. They already have Bagley. They've got Giles. They've got Barnes. They've got some pieces. I just think they need to shore up their backcourt and replace one of the two guards that will leave.
No, I agree, man. That's absolutely, you're spot on. I think this is a prime example of an up-and-coming team that has a lot of nice pieces. They're just not quite fitting together, right? Unlike Phoenix, where you're starting to see that flow and that gel and that roster start to come together. You're absolutely right with Luke. We love Luke on this podcast, but I think this is a short leash for sure. Dumars is coming in. He's bringing that bad boy style. You know, he's going to grind it out. They're going to try to play some defense. You know, Fox is going to be doing his thing, running point. I agree. There's a lot of disparate pieces down low that are nice. How they all kind of come together, you know, does Bagley get healthy in time? Whenever the season starts. So there's a lot of questions there, but you know, you're absolutely right. I think the wing play and even, you know, the Hield and Bogey piece is going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But, and the tough part is, right, with both of those squads, with Phoenix and Sacramento, you just take a look at the West. Next year, like 2, 3, 4 years out, it's a beast still, right?
Yeah.
So I think the other piece is, okay, so you know, you mentioned two names that make or three names that make a lot of sense for each of the two teams. But, you know, what do you do if you're still kind of caught at the back end of the lottery or scratching clawing for an 8-9 seed? Like, that's probably not going to change for the next 2 or 3 years.
No.
Right? So that's the piece where, you know, do you start thinking longer term. And obviously this draft cycle looks a little different than the others, given the fact that, you know, workouts have been, you know, been turned off and timelines have been pushed back. So, you know, maybe some of these teams in the back half of the lottery look to say, you know, this, I can't see it, or I don't know what I'm looking for. So let me push back a little bit, or let me trade back and try to pick up a couple more assets 2 or 3 years down the road when this thing could accelerate a little bit more.
Yeah, you brought up a good point. Also, like, just load up on young talent, right? Because LeBron is, I think he's 35. You know, you got Steph, Clay getting up there, Kawhi, right, and Paul George. Like, the window's going to open 3 years from now once those players get a little bit older. So it'll be interesting to see if the Kings and the Suns can make that rise, you know, build around Booker, build around Ayton, build around Fox. Hopefully Giles can step up. I think he was the number one player in the same class as Tatum. But too many injuries, he hasn't been able to get back to the form where he was playing at that high of a level.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
WSC Podcast, NBA Draft Lottery, Nick Finelli, NFF, a.k.a. my guy. Thanks for joining the show. You want to tell fans where to find us online, or do you want me to tell them?
Hey, I'll push it back to you. I just want to say one more time to you and Big Ben, we love what you're doing. You guys keep it up, man. The following has been great. The content's been great. Just appreciate all the hard work. And thanks again for having me. This has been awesome.
No problem. Thanks for joining the show. It was a blast. You can find us online at WST_podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Email us. Let us know what you think. WSTpodcastshow@gmail.com. Everywhere you get your podcasts, subscribe, download, like us. We're on Podbeam, Stitcher, iTunes, iCloud. We're everywhere. And we're out. Boom.